Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. And I'm coming to you today from my home studio. We'll start today's reading on Court Services, a Backyard Oasis. Raffle winners could cozy up in Heartland Casa Playhouse. And this article's by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Well, this is me talking here. I'm just very intrigued to find out more about it. And I'll start with the description of the photo here because it really stands out. Schuyler Krause and Lori McDaniel check the progress of the construction of the Heartland Casa Playhouse that will be raffled in Dalton City on Wednesday, June 11th. And it's a beautiful bright green, looks like a shed, bright green exterior with white trim windows and trim around the doors and edges. And one of the people mentioned in the caption is standing inside the unfinished plywood and framing interior, smiling. And on the exterior, the other individual mentioned is pointing to the individual inside. Just jumps right out, so in a good way. Joseph Resser Photos, Herald and Review. So on to the article. Comfortable and welcoming describes the court-appointed special advocates, or CASA, volunteers, but also the agency's popular playhouses. This year's Heartland CASA Playhouse raffle, under the theme A Backyard Oasis, will feature an 8x10-foot garden shed as well as a few other items to make a personal retreat. The exterior of the playhouse, painted green with white trim, and three windows and one door, will have flower boxes, a retractable awning, and collapsible porch. But that's not the only winning item in the raffle. In the past, CASA would have two playhouses to raffle. This year, the organization has limited the house to just one, but added backyard items to the fundraiser. Other drawings include Ego Power Plus Lawnmower on June 21st, Pit Boss Smoker and Meat Bundle on June 26th, Blackstone Grill and Meat Bundle on July 26th, and 121 Patios Chair Set and Tiki Fire Pit on August 7th. Winners will be contacted. We're just changing things up and reaching a larger demographic of people, said Lori McDaniel, with recruitment and retention at Heartland CASA. The house was designed by Prairie Built Barns for children as well as adults. Curb appeal was the focus, according to CASA administration. Making it to where it can grow with the child, said Schuyler Krause, marketing and development manager for Heartland CASA. As they grow older, when they're teenagers, they've still got a little space they can hang out with their friends. After the children leave the nest, the parents can transform the shed into their own digs. It's timeless, McDaniel said. The building will be roughed in with electrical wiring. The agency will not be able to perform the electrical hookup. We can't do that, McDaniel said. The interior of the playhouse will be decorated with painted flooring, a bench added to one side, and a shiplap on another wall. It's going to be a real honey, Krause said. The colors will be natural. That way, when the family has it, they can do whatever they want with it, Krause said. The playhouse will be displayed in approximately 2 weeks at the west side of Central Park. The winner will be announced August 18th at the Metro Decatur Home Builders Association golf outing. Shaner's Towing will transport the playhouse to the winner's location. Volunteers will be selling the raffle tickets at various community events throughout the summer, including Juneteenth celebrations on June 19th and 21st. Tickets for the raffles are also available at the CASA website as well as the Office 141 South Main Street, Suite 722, Decatur. After each drawing, the winning ticket is discarded. Therefore, the more tickets in the raffle, the better the odds of winning, the administration noted. Last year, our winner of one of the houses bought $600 worth of tickets, McDaniel said. CASA volunteers assist children in the care of courts in Macon, DeWitt, Christian, and Moultrie counties. Since Heartland CASA, formerly known as Macon County CASA, spread its services out to include Christian and Moultrie counties as well as DeWitt counties, the agency has needed to reach out further to encourage more volunteers to join them. We really wanted to keep the conversation flowing all summer long in terms of getting the word out more about what CASA is, what we do, and how we serve, Krause said. We can't exist without our volunteer advocates. The agency began using the new name approximately 6 weeks ago. It incorporates the heartland of Illinois in a greater prairie state, Krause said. We're in this because our hearts are in it. We're in it for the kids. And a very large color photo taken from the side here. Lori McDaniel talks about the Heartland CASA Playhouse that will be raffled in Dalton City on Wednesday, June 11th. Very similar to the previous picture, just taken from further back and showing McDaniel standing in front of the playhouse with its door closed. Joseph Ressler, Herald and Review, photo credit. And a sidebar here. I was wondering about ticket prices. Well, since they weren't mentioned in the article, here they are on the sidebar. Heartland CASA Playhouse Raffle. Tickets are available through August 18th. One ticket is $5, five tickets are $20, and 40 tickets are $100. Other drawings include Ego Power Plus Lawnmower on June 21st, Pit Boss Smoker and Meat Bundle on June 26th, Blackstone Grill and Meat Bundle on July 26th, 121 Patios Chair Set and Tiki Fire Pit on August 7th, and the Custom Garden Shed August 18th. For more information or to register for the Heartland CASA Playhouse and other prizes, visit the organization's website at MaconCountyCASA.org. Winners will be contacted. Well, that's a fun article to start off our day. Let's see what's next. On the community section, celebrate Juneteenth in Decatur, multiple events set for this week. This article is by Scott Perry, Decatur. Area residents have multiple opportunities to mark the Juneteenth holiday and honor local legends during celebrations in Decatur this week. Juneteenth, recognized June 19th, marks the end of slavery in the United States in 1865. More than 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, Decatur Legends Brunch, the INC spot, will host the Decatur Legends Brunch at 3 p.m. Sunday, June 22nd, to celebrate Juneteenth. INC spot founder Corey Walker describes the event as incredible food, live performances, and powerful moments of community culture and recognition. This is a no-stress, high-vibe celebration of legacy, love, and excellence. Honorees include Jeffrey Perkins, Walt Smith, Jim Taylor, Janelle Norman, Kent Phillips, Richard Phillips, John Earl Wilder, Thomas Walker, Jesse Bates, William Oliver, Evelyn Hood, Mildred Bond, Keith Anderson, Burl Stoner, Robert Crawford, and Bishop E.F. Corey. Tickets are limited. Cost is $30 through June 21st and $40 at the door, though when tickets are gone, no more will be released. Tickets can be purchased in person at the INC spot, 269 West El Dorado Street, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Online through Eventbrite via Cash App, $INKSPOT2020. Apparently that's the code, I think. And include your name and Legends Brunch in the memo. Juneteenth National Freedom Day celebration, the African American Cultural and Genealogical Society of Illinois will host a public Juneteenth celebration on Friday and Saturday, June 20th and 21st. The event will kick off with the National Freedom Day Gala from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday at the Decatur Club, 158 West Prairie Avenue, featuring guest speaker Melverta Wilkins, president of the Metro Decatur Black Chamber of Commerce and CEO of Sista Girls and Friends, Inc. The festivities will move to Central Park from noon to 4 p.m. Saturday, there will be an Emancipation Parade at noon, featuring Grand Marshal and Decatur City Councilwoman Consuelo Cruz and the Ferguson, Missouri Black Cowboys. There will be entertainment, festivities, food, education, giveaways, a kids' corner, chess competition, community assistance, and more. Speakers will include Dana Ray, Edwin Robinson, and the Reverend Robert Collier. Poets will be Joshua Graff and Charity Smith of Springfield. For more information, call 217-429-7458 or visit african-americancultural.org. Juneteenth at the Devon. The Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater at 2686 East Cantrell Street will host a Juneteenth Freedom Celebration from 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday, June 19th. Featuring a performance by Capital Sound, the event is free and for all ages. The concert will be preceded by a ceremony at 5 p.m. that will include comedy, local choirs, poetry, dancing, and a scholarship giveaway. Minnesota shooting suspect-backed GOP. Belter captured Sunday after two-day manhunt. This article is by Jim Mustian and Michael Biesecker, Associated Press, New York. The man accused of assassinating the top Democrat in the Minnesota House held deeply religious and politically conservative views, telling a congregation in Africa 2 years ago that the U.S. was in a, quote, bad place, unquote, where most churches didn't oppose abortion. Vance Luther Belter, 57, was captured late Sunday after a two-day manhunt authorities described as the longest in the state's history. Belter is accused of impersonating a police officer and gunning down former House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark in their home outside Minneapolis. Democratic Governor Tim Walz described the shooting as a politically motivated assassination. Senator John Hoffman, also a Democrat, and his wife Yvette were shot earlier by the same gunman at their home nearby but survived. Friends and former colleagues interviewed by AP described Belter as a devout Christian who attended an evangelical church and went to campaign rallies for President Donald Trump. Records show Belter registered to vote as a Republican while living in Oklahoma in 2004 before moving to Minnesota, where voters didn't or don't list party affiliation. Near the scene at Hortman's home, authorities say they found an SUV made to look like those used by law enforcement. Inside, they found flyers for a local anti-Trump No Kings rally scheduled for Saturday and a notebook with names of other lawmakers. The list also included the names of abortion rights advocates and healthcare officials, according to two law enforcement officials who could not discuss details of the ongoing investigation and spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity. Both Hortman and Hoffman were defenders of abortion rights at the state legislature. Drew Evans, superintendent of the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, said at a briefing on Sunday that Belter is not believed to have made any public threats before the attacks. Evans asked the public not to speculate on a motivation for the attacks. "We often want easy answers for complex problems," he told reporters. "Those answers will come as we complete the full picture of our investigation." Friends told the AP that they knew Belter was religious and conservative, but that he didn't talk about politics often and didn't seem extreme. "He was right-leaning politically, but never fanatical, from what I saw. Just strong beliefs," said Paul Schrader, who has known Belter for years. A trip to Africa. Belter, who worked as a security contractor, gave a glimpse of his beliefs on abortion during a trip to the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2023. While there, Belter served as an evangelical pastor, telling people he first found Jesus as a teenager. "The churches are so messed up. They don't know abortion is wrong in many churches," he said, according to an online recording of one sermon from February 2023. Still, in three lengthy sermons reviewed by the AP, he only mentioned abortion once, focusing more on his love of God and what he saw as the moral decay in his native country. He appears to have hidden his more strident beliefs from his friends back home. "He never talked to me about abortion," Schrader said. "It seemed to be just that he was a conservative Republican who naturally followed Trump." A married father with five children, Belter and his wife own a sprawling 3,800-square-foot house on a large rural lot about an hour from downtown Minneapolis that the couple bought in 2023 for more than $500,000. Seeking to reinvent himself, he worked for decades in managerial roles for food and beverage manufacturers before seeking to reinvent himself in middle age, according to resumes and a video he posted online. After getting an undergraduate degree in international relations in his 20s, Belter went back to school and earned a master's degree and then a doctorate in leadership studies in 2016 from Cardinal Stritch University, a private Catholic college in Wisconsin that since shut down. While living in Wisconsin, records show Belter and his wife Jenny founded a nonprofit corporation called Revo Formation Ministries, listing themselves as the president and secretary. After moving to Minneapolis about a decade ago, Belter volunteered for a position on a state workforce development board, first appointed by then-Governor Mark Dayton, a Democrat, in 2016 and later by Democratic Governor Tim Walz. He served through 2023. In that position, he may have crossed paths with one of his alleged victims. Hoffman served on the same board, though authorities said it was not immediately clear how much the two men may have interacted. Security firm. Records show Belter and his wife started a security firm in 2018, a website for Praetorian Guard Security Services lists Belter's wife as the president and CEO, while he is listed as the director of security patrols. The company's homepage says it provides armed security for property and events and features a photo of an SUV painted in a two-tone black and silver pattern, similar to a police vehicle, with a light bar across the roof and Praetorian painted across the doors. Another photo shows a man in a black tactical gear with military-style helmet and a ballistic vest with the company's name across the front. Two small color photos here. A law enforcement officer trains his rifle toward a house as authorities search for shooting suspect Vance Belter on Sunday in Belle Plaine, Minnesota. And it looks very much like a military vehicle, and the officer's in tactical gear. Looks like military gear, large scope, long rifle on a tripod, and he's looking to the left of the photo. George Walker, the fourth photo, is Associated Press. Members of law enforcement agencies walk through a field near a vehicle suspected to belong to shooting suspect Vance Belter on Sunday in Belle Plaine, Minnesota. And there's maybe a dozen or so. It's taken from high above from a distance, and we can see the rows in the distance. No facial features, but they are in what looks like military or tactical combat gear. And there's two officers with dogs in the distance toward the upper left of the photo in the very bottom section. Most of the two groups of law enforcement are walking in the fields. Moving on to local and nation on A3, false report results in misdemeanor plea. Tony Reed, Niantic. The Joliet woman who cried wolf over allegations her ex-boyfriend from Niantic beat her up and broke her foot has been sentenced to a 12-month conditional discharge. Ash Helena L. Diamond, 23, took a plea deal in Macon County Circuit Court, negotiated by her defense lawyer, Chidiberi Wachkuwu, that saw her admit an amended charge of attempted disorderly conduct, a Class A misdemeanor. That charge was a revision downwards from a previous offense accusing Diamond of making a false report of a crime, a Class 4 felony. Judge Jeffrey Geisler also dismissed a second false report charge when he sentenced Diamond June 6th. The charges against her date to August of 2023, when she claimed the ex-boyfriend and father of her child had beaten and shoved her, leaving her with a black eye and a broken foot. Diamond, however, later recanted her story and even appeared as a witness for the defense at a preliminary hearing in May of 2024. The ex-boyfriend, then 26, was denying charges of aggravated domestic battery causing bodily harm, and domestic battery involving physical contact. Diamond was on the stand for 15 minutes trying to persuade a judge that she had lied about being attacked. She claimed she had tried to frame the man out of revenge as he was her only means of support and had ended their relationship. Judge Lindsay Shelton, who conducted the preliminary hearing, hadn't believed her recantation was sincere and found probable cause to hold the man over for trial. But then Macon County State's Attorney Scott Reuter later decided to drop all charges after Diamond refused to change her story that she had lied. So she is charged with making a false police report, Reuter had said at the time. This is not Diamond's first brush with legal trouble after making statements she later admitted were not true. Several years previous to the domestic battery claims, she had soaked herself in fake blood and been rushed to the hospital after saying she had been shot in an incident. "I was basically trying to do a YouTube prank, and it didn't go well," Diamond had testified when asked about the event during the 2024 preliminary hearing. In brief, tire recycling for Macon County residents, Decatur. A tire recycling event for Macon County residents will be from 8 a.m. to noon Friday, June 20th, at the Macon Mosquito Abatement District, 4170 North Beardsdale Road, Decatur, sponsored by the Macon County Health Department and the Macon Mosquito Abatement District. The event is designed to reduce some of the barriers associated with tire disposal and to decrease mosquito-borne infections and illnesses. Participants should bring proof of Macon County residency. No more than 10 rimless passenger tires will be accepted per household. No lawnmower tires, semi-truck tires, tractor tires, or tires from local tire shops will be accepted. For more information, call 217-875-2722. Coroner names man killed in collision. Macon County Coroner Michael D. Burkham has identified the victim of a Friday afternoon car crash on Rock Springs Road, a 68-year-old Decatur resident, Paul A. Lyons. According to the initial report issued by the Decatur Police Department, the accident occurred at approximately 3:11 p.m. Friday, June 13th, in the intersection of West Rock Springs Road and Westgate Drive. The initial investigation concluded that a red 2005 Chrysler PT Cruiser driven by Lyons was sitting in the eastbound lane of West Rock Springs Road facing westbound. Sergeant Brett Hill stated in the report, "The PT Cruiser abruptly turned right across the westbound lane and toward a driveway on the north side of West Rock Springs Road," Hill stated. "A tan Chevrolet 1500 truck traveled westbound on West Rock Springs Road and collided with the passenger side of the PT Cruiser. The 18-year-old driver of the Chevrolet 1500 and his juvenile passenger, both from Decatur, were transported to local hospital with minor injuries. Lyons was transported to a local hospital where he was pronounced deceased a short time later. The fatal accident investigation team were on the scene to investigate the accident. Several hurt and arrested in street fight. Decatur, a neighborhood dispute got out of control Sunday night, causing several injuries with multiple arrests. According to the Decatur Police Department, officers responded at approximately 7 p.m. Sunday to the 700 block of East Condit Street, where they found the results of a large fight. The victim advised they were having a barbecue and playing dominoes across the street from the suspect's house. Sergeant Steve Carroll said, "The suspect arrived on a motorcycle and began yelling at the family who was in the front yard. The suspect then started throwing firecrackers at the victims," Carroll said. "One punch was thrown, with others quickly joining in the fight," Carroll said. Injuries included a bloody nose, a broken finger, and several lacerations. Participants ranged in age from age 20 to age 66. Several people were arrested for aggravated battery due to the location being in a public place, Carroll said. Dairy farmer sues claiming discrimination. Scott Bauer, Associated Press, Madison, Wisconsin. A Wisconsin dairy farmer alleged in a federal lawsuit filed Monday that the Trump administration is illegally denying financial assistance to white farmers by continuing programs that favor minorities. The conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty filed the lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Agriculture in federal court in Wisconsin on behalf of a white dairy farmer, Adam Faust. Faust was among several farmers who successfully sued the Biden administration in 2021 for race discrimination in the USDA's Farmer Loan Forgiveness Plan. The new lawsuit alleges the government continued to implement diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that were instituted under former President Joe Biden. The Wisconsin Institute wrote to the USDA in April warning of legal action, and six Republican Wisconsin congressmen called on the USDA to investigate and end the programs. The USDA should honor the president's promise to the American people to end racial discrimination in the federal government, Faust said in a written statement. After being ignored by the federal agency that's meant to support agriculture, I hope my lawsuit brings answers, accountability, and results from USDA. Trump administration spokesperson Anna Kelly did not immediately respond to an email Monday seeking comment. The lawsuit claims Faust is one of 2 million white male American farmers who are subject to discrimination race-based policies at the USDA. The lawsuit names three USDA programs and policies it says put white men at a disadvantage and violate the Constitution's guarantee of equal treatment by discriminating based on race and sex. Faust participates in one program designed to offset the gap between milk prices and the cost of feed, but the lawsuit alleges he is charged a $100 administrative fee that minority and female farmers do not have to pay. Faust also participates in a USDA program that guarantees 90% of the value of loans to white farmers, but 95% to women and racial minorities. That puts Faust at a disadvantage, the lawsuit alleges. Faust also began work on a new manure storage system that could qualify for reimbursement under a USDA environmental conservation program, but 75% of his costs are eligible, while 90% of his costs of the costs of minority farmers qualify, the lawsuit contends. A federal court judge ruled in a similar 2021 case that the granting loan forgiveness only to socially disadvantaged farmers amounts to unconstitutional race discrimination. The Biden administration suspended the program and Congress repealed it in 2022. The Wisconsin Institute has filed dozens of such lawsuits in 25 states attacking DEI programs in government. In its April letter to the USDA, the law firm that has a long history of representing Republicans said it didn't want to sue, but there is no excuse for this continued discrimination. Trump has been aggressive in trying to end the government's DEI efforts to fulfill a campaign promise and bring about a profound cultural shift across the U.S. away from promoting diversity. In a medium-sized colored photo, Wisconsin dairy farmer Adam Faust poses in 2021 inside his dairy barn in Chilton, Wisconsin. And he's standing next to, looks like four milking units are shown. The controls up high and all sorts of handles and tubes flowing from above and below. Patrick G. Manning, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, photo credit. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.